Hayes and Prater here on Sports Radio. The Ticket, it's Ask the AD with Boise State's Athletic Director, Kurt Apsey, in studio with us. We'll get to this ambassador program, Kurt, but I just found this interesting in looking at the Inside Higher Ed site. The idea is that at the University of Tennessee, in this lawsuit that they had to settle over these sexual assault charges that came against their athletes, there was a note in there that they also not only were going to pay $2.5 million or whatever to settle this lawsuit, they also agreed to no longer provide athletes accused of any misconduct with a list of lawyers that they could contact. The NCAA has no rules against that, but in the Title IX world, it was pointed out that, you know, students accused of crimes don't get that same list, and the advocates of victims say, hey, that's, you know, taking athletes who have contacts, getting a high-powered lawyer, and it's unfair to students who are victims of sexual assault. And so I wondered, I said, wow, has anybody at Boise State went down that road in terms of, I don't know, do you have a list of, can you do that? Or?
Well, we can. We don't provide a list. I would say that if a student athlete came to us for help, we would probably be able to point out some people in the community that could help them out. But we don't. If someone gets in trouble at our place, they don't get an envelope the next day with a list of attorneys on it. I can guarantee you that.
Sure.
That's not what we do. We could do it. We would offer them help, obviously, if they reached out to us. But I think most of the time, you know, I just maybe think about my own kids. If my kid were to get in trouble away at college, I'm not sure I would count on the university to seek legal help. I would maybe want either my own attorney or.
Well, if you're a single mom in Detroit.
Yeah. Well, but you got to pay for it either way, right?
Well, that's another question. What if it's pro bono work by these attorneys, which I don't know the end.
That's a benefit. You can't
do that.
No, I think there's exceptions when it's a eligibility situation where the university can actually seek help if they've got to deal with it from their workings with the NC2A, which sometimes happens
sure.
in an appeal process or something like that, but. When it's a legal issue, we're more than willing to throw out a few names of, you know, maybe some ex-players that are now doing legal work here in Boise, or maybe some people that we've worked with. But it's pretty rare that we would point out someone unless they came to us and asked for it.
Yeah, I thought that was a little odd that Tennessee's not going to do that anymore. They made a deal. That was in their settlement.
I guess one way you could look at it is you've got a list of attorneys that maybe are big donors at your school, and we certainly have those at Boise State. They've never approached us to say, hey, can we get on the, you know, the legal list? and, you know, we have our own general counsel within our institution as well that I work with a lot. And so...
And there's nothing they can do for the student athletes, right? That wouldn't be another benefit, or
it's
can
a benefit,
they give them advice
yeah.
or
well,
part
there's,
of the pointing in the right direction?
You know, a lot of times when you talk about the definition of a benefit, sometimes that falls under the thought process of saying, well, if you're going to offer something to a student athlete, that service has to be available to the entire student body. So it doesn't look like it's a special benefit. That's what it's all about. Is it a special?
Now, why
is it a special
why
benefit?
Is it that a guy who's in the athletic department as a scholarship student can't go to his department chairman and his offices there and ask questions when the kid that's the business major, why doesn't he go to the business department?
These kids are close to their coaches. I mean,
well, it's great.
You
yeah,
know,
that's
you
I'm
don't
fair.
As a and this is just I'm just guessing here.
It's like
but,
teachers.
Yeah, I don't even think you know the normal student on campus doesn't spend near the time with an accounting instructor.
No, of course the ratio is different
as a coach does. You know, and so that relationship is different. There's probably a lot more trust there. Not that our professors aren't trusted. They just don't have the same type of relationship, and
right.
so. You know, a lot of these kids are from out of town and a long ways from home. You just mentioned the mom in Detroit and all that. I mean, they're going to reach out to their coaches.
I think it's unfair that the student, they say, should have that same opportunity. I said, wait a minute, does he play football?
Yeah.
Why should a football player have the special opportunity?
It's not special.
Well, it's going to
the Department of Responsibility.
Yeah, and I don't think it's really an opportunity. My point is that it's a natural reaction from a student athlete to go to a head coach for help, whatever
it
may
be. What do I do?
Because of the quality of their relationship.
Yeah.
I don't think it's about, well, they can do it in athletics and another student can't do it in biology. I just think that relationship, you know, fosters a question of, hey, coach, you know, I need your help.
Yeah, what do I do?
Yeah.
All right, Kurt, another question and really a reaction more about what all of us have seen is people come from out of town, they want to see the blue turf. Yeah, they can go look at the train depot, they can go look at the state capitol and go up to Table Rock, go over to JP's house for Fake It on the Grill Sunday, whatever they want to do. Sorry, I was bothering him again. That's called his being bothered look.
He's waving you off.
Yeah, but the blue turf and the tours and all that and these ambassadors and the list is chronicled the Idaho Statesman pretty long. I mean, isn't it still? I would like to know what's visited more than that or wanted to be visited more.
Well, you know, it's the blue turf is famous and people want to see it. And a lot of them have only seen it, you know, seen it on television.
But they can't stand on it.
They can't stand on it, but we give them a close look. We let them take photos with it in the background. If we let every single person on that field that came to visit, I mean, we have some security things in there that we got to follow. And so it's been fantastic. These people, we've got, I think, 14 to 18 of them. They've got a schedule Monday through Friday. They keep track of who comes in.
Nobody's on Saturday and Sunday? What's up with that?
I know. Well, you know, they say they don't have anything to do, but I guess they're busy on the weekend.
Well, yeah. So, well, yeah. Frater, where's the follow-up question? What do you mean you only work?
Well, you know,
JP hour.
Exactly. What I think's really special about it outside of just coming to see the blue is these people have a lot of questions just about Boise State and Boise, Idaho.
Sure.
And, you know, I would say 75% of them aren't student athletes. They're either, you know, grandma and grandpa who maybe wants to move into town or, they've got a son or a daughter or a grandkid with them that's maybe considering college and looking at Boise State. And, you know, those guys are ambassadors, recruiters, and, you know, most of the people on that list have been around Boise State athletics for 40 or 50 years. So they probably know a heck of a lot more about it than I do.
All right. Kurt, just a quick football question. I know the Mountain West football media days are in a couple of weeks in Las Vegas, and I don't expect much more information, but of the remaining games with no kickoff times, is there any update to when there may be news about when we'll know any of these kickoff times that remain, some of these conference games and so forth?
You know, I don't have an exact date, but I'm just going to guess we're probably going to know something a little more over the next 30 days.
Oh, really? So yeah. It won't be we'll tell you 2 weeks before it happens.
I don't think so, unless it's just some strange, you know, off-the-wall time, which I doubt. I mean, we've talked about this before. I think it's going to be right around that, you know, 7 to 8:30 time frame. That's almost a guarantee, and depending on who's broadcasting it.
So the remaining games with no time.
Yeah.
You're pretty much saying, other than Louisiana game, which I hope they don't put us at 1 o'clock in that 90 degree, 90% humidity factor, but that could be.
Absolutely. You expect that to be a night game too then?
I don't know. That maybe a 5 o'clock.
Okay.
You know, maybe a 5 o'clock or somewhere in there. We'd actually probably like it to be, I mean, I don't think there's a difference between 2 o'clock and 5 o'clock. 2 o'clock's a lot better for us because we can get home a little. But, you know, that's a long trip. So that's a 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning return after we play those guys.
Yeah, that's a lot. All right, Kurt, thank you.
All right, fellas, appreciate it.
Ask the AD with Kurt Apsey here on Thursdays at 5 o'clock on Sports Radio, The Ticket.